My name is Nicholas Parsons, and it's my very great pleasure to welcome you to a brand new series of Just a Minute. I am going to be here every day for the next 4 weeks, and I'm going to have four guests with me each day, and I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. So let us now meet the four talented performers who are going to play in the show today. First of all, we welcome a very outstanding comedy writer and comedian in his own right. That is Barry Cryer. And beside him sits a talented, effervescent, delightful comedian, Sue Pollard. And on my left, that distinguished art critic, Brian Sewell. And beside him, another distinguished individual, political commentator, journalist, John Sargent. Would you please welcome all four of them? And we have a lovely, warm audience here as we start the show with Barry Cryer. Barry, the subject I'd like you to talk on is ever-decreasing circles. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Who can forget that seminal series, Ever-Decreasing Circles, starring Richard Briers, Penelope Wilton, Peter Egan as a next-door neighbour? A story of suburban angst, neighbourhood watch, endless conflict and confusion. The plots proliferated, and who can forget Howard and...
Sue Pollard, you have challenged.
It was so fantastic, but I'm sure this is a good challenge. Two forgets, yes.
True. A correct challenge, Sue.
True.
I'm sorry I've interrupted you, because that was really good.
Oh. Yes. Not at all. No, that's the game, to interrupt and gain points, because you get a point for a correct challenge, Sue.
You've got ears like a hawk.
They're rattling a bit today.
Right, Sue, so you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, as I said. There are 42 seconds available, and you take over the subject of ever-decreasing circles, starting now.
A singular popular enjoyment.
Sue, you've been challenged immediately by John Sargent.
Hesitation, I'm afraid, Sue. Appalling.
Absolutely appalling hesitation. Well, don't rub it in, John.
Yeah, because I realised I've got to say singularly. But it only came out as singular. Oh, go on, take pity on me. We've known each other a long time.
I know I've known you a long time, and you're lovely with it. We don't mind whether you hesitate or do anything, because it's just lovely to have you on the show, Sue. But, John, it was a correct challenge, so you get a point for that, and you take over the subject of ever-decreasing circles, and there are 37 seconds available starting now.
Ever-decreasing circles can give the impression of confusion if you're the person involved. If you're a small rat or a rodent, and you're chasing your tail, and it's harvest time, and you've been upset by the harvest combiner...
And, Sue, you challenge first.
I believe there was a repetition on harvest.
There was indeed, Sue. You listen well. You might have a lot in your ear holes, but there's...
Well, you cleaned them out this morning.
No, on your lobes, I should have said, on your ear lobes.
No, that's not the right challenge. A harvest mouse is the definition of a particular kind of mouse. You cannot just say mouse if you mean a harvest mouse.
Have you come on here to be difficult and contentious?
Isn't that what you expected?
It's all right, darling. You have got a correct challenge.
So yes, but we're deviating now from the challenge, aren't we? About talking about what's harvest mouse and what isn't.
I know we are.
I've got to get a train in a minute. I'm booked to go back.
Sue, you save it for the show. But Barry, yes, you've got something
to say. I had black hair when I came here.
So, I'm glad I've come on this. I'm having a nice time. Yes?
You have got a correct challenge, and you have 27 seconds to tell us something about ever-decreasing circles, starting now.
Ever-decreasing
circles? Sure. Ron, what are you playing?
Hesitation.
Now, just a minute, pal. I've got to breathe, Brian.
No. Please stop. Stop now.
Just please, right. Sue, an incorrect challenge, because you did not hesitate. You really got going with speed and panache. 26 seconds. In fact, you barely went for a second. 26 seconds now. Ever-decreasing circles starting now.
Ever-decreasing circles, it seems to me what we've all been doing in the last few seconds, actually. But I'm delighted to get on to the correct subject. I'm hoping not to be interrupted at all by any further seconds. Of course, as I said...
Why?
Repetition of seconds.
Yes. Barry, you have a correct challenge. Another point to you. You take back the subject. 15 seconds are available. Ever-decreasing circles starting now.
One of the most marked characteristics of the harvest mouse is the ever-decreasing circles in which it runs in a field of crops, having no sense of direction, being disorientated and confused. The aforementioned animal tends to pursue...
Yes!
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Barry Cryer. So at the end of that round, Sue Pollard, you'll be interested to hear, is in the lead. She got a lot of points in that round with Brian Sewell's help. And Barry Cryer is second place. And Sue, would you take the next round? Lovely subject, bananas. Tell us, why do you laugh? Why should you, what is the association of bananas and Sue Pollard?
I'm coming to that in a minute.
You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
In America, you could be a top one. I've been called this, but the correct term for bananas is an object you can be eaten with. Oh, no, I've said that wrong. Can I carry on?
No. John Sargent challenged you.
You can't be eaten with a banana. Nobody can be.
Deviation from English as we understand it. And, but you do create wonderful images in the mind, which are wonderful, Sue. John, a correct challenge. A point to you for that, and there are 51 seconds available on bananas starting now.
Bananas, the whole subject must be straightened out. If you remember, there was a famous mafia chief who was called Joe Bananas. The last conversation he was involved with was when a man turned up in a car.
Why do you challenge, Sue?
Because John mentioned the whole subject of bananas, and then he said there was a man called Joe Bananas.
You're talking rubbish, darling.
So you're actually accusing me of what the topic is all about, then? In a polite way, you're trying to say I am banana.
You can repeat the subject on the card as often as you wish, in whichever context you like to repeat it, so that is not actually deviating. So you still have the subject, you have a point for an incorrect challenge from Sue, and you have 42 seconds available, starting now.
Right, let's clear up these bananas. There was a Reverend Canaan Banana who worked in Africa, and he was in Zimbabwe. He was a chief leader, and he's now in prison. There was another banana called Joe Bananas, and he was a mafia chief in New York. And the last reported conversation he had was when a man stopped a car, pointed a gun at him, and said, OK, bananas, this is it. Now, in America, they call it bananas, whereas we call it banana. But then, what's a tomato but any other name than banana?
And why have you challenged, Brian?
I think talking about tomatoes is deviation.
Well, it's not deviation mentioning the tomato in the connection with bananas, because he was going on. And I've never heard a man go on a subject and mention the word bananas so often and so successfully and succinctly. So, John, you have another point and you keep the subject, and there are 14 seconds available. Bananas starting now.
The other point about bananas at the moment is that they are the centre of a dispute between the United States and Europe in a trade war, nothing less than something which could cause enormous difficulty between our two great continents. And you may think it's funny, but bananas in this context are very serious.
Great style and panache kept going on the subject of bananas until the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he has taken the lead at the end of that round. Now then, Sue Pollard's on bananas. Brian, Sue, we'd love to hear from you on Monet's paintings starting... No, sorry, it's singular. Monet's painting starting now.
Monet's painting, of course, was an activity rather than an object. The activity began in a...
It's a difficult, difficult game, Brian.
Yes, of course. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm thrown completely by your sort of quibbling about the singular or the plural.
But those have been the rules of Just a Minute for 34 years, actually.
But you're not allowing me the rhetorical device, either.
No, you're just approaching the menopause, Brian. Just please accept that.
53 seconds available for you, John, on Monet's painting starting now.
When Monet started his career, he was called Monet. And...
It's not exactly a deviation. When he started his career, he was called Oscar.
Excellent. The Monet that I'm talking about was called Monet. And I will explain that as the time goes on. I've got 53 seconds, and I can explain this difficulty. It started in his life. Everyone has personal problems.
He had
this problem about whether he should be called Monet, Monet, or Money.
I think you should keep that for the show, actually, because if we're talking about Monet's painting, I think we must be talking about the painter. And I think Brian knows more than us about him, and then we accept
the fact... No, he just needs a bit of explanation. Brian hasn't given me a chance to explain how I know about this problem that Monet had with his pronunciation.
Do you mean Monet the painter or Monet the politician?
No, because you'll know as it comes out. We've got 53 seconds.
Do you two boys want to go outside and have a real finish it off out there? I'm going to give the subject to Brian Sewell and tell him he's got 49 seconds on Monet's painting starting now.
The earliest pictures were signed with this middle name rather than the first, which was Claude. He came into his own at about the age of 20 and 60. I got my six and my nine muddled up.
That's all right. John, you see, you get back in again, don't you? And you have another point as well. And you have the subject, and you have 37 seconds, 38 seconds starting now.
I will keep very carefully now to Monet. He lived in France in a lovely house with a big garden. At the bottom of the garden, there was a lake.
And, Sue, you've challenged.
Yes, I would like to challenge that description given by John, because I suppose unless you were actually a frequent visitor to his abode, how do we know that you haven't made
such description?
Why
didn't you have him for repetition of garden?
Two gardens.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that. I thought mine was better. Mine was better. Oh, I've gone on a bit there, haven't I? But never mind.
All right, we'll give it to you, Sue, because you haven't played the game very much. You have a repetition of garden, and there are 30 seconds for you to tell us something about Monet's painting, starting now.
Of course, Monet is not to be confused with the other painter of the same initial, and we can almost pronounce it equally the same. He has been known...
You challenge.
Two saves.
Oh, what's the matter with me? I'm mental.
No, you're not. You're just finding
the game. You're just bananas.
That was the last topic, Ryan. Meet me outside. I can pack a punch.
Right. Brian, you have a correct challenge. You have a point for that. 22 seconds. Monet's painting starting now.
There's a very large exhibition of Monet's paintings at the Royal Academy at this very moment. Most of these were painted...
Barry.
Slight hesitation, I
No. Slight hesitation, but not enough to be, you know...
What's the dividing line, then? Between slight,
I've never
but not
worked
enough.
It out. Over 30 years, I've never worked it out. And I just have to make that sort of instant judgment. And on this occasion, the judgment goes towards Brian Sewell, so he gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject. 15 seconds. Monet's painting starting now, Brian.
1900 and 1926, when he died. Unfortunately, poor Monet was blind most of the time. And these are unspeakable daubs rather than fine paintings. Nevertheless, the Royal Academy, which is blind most of the time, too.
Oh, yes,
right.
Very good, sir.
So, Brian was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. Barry challenged just after the thing because he thought he'd said blind twice, which he did. But it was too late. And Brian has leapt forward. Yes, he's in second place, equal with Sue Pollard. He likes to be equal with Sue Pollard, I'm sure.
Yes.
Fine, it's John Sargent's turn to begin. The subject is pests. John, I'm sure in your political time you've met quite a few of those, maybe interviewed some of them, but tell us something about the subject in this game, starting now.
Pests can be terrible in Africa, the biblical pestilence and famine. Millions of locusts come down and they rip the leaves off the crops. And all you can see in the gloom, the sun has darkened, is just the sight of Bob Geldof.
Barry, what are you saying?
How does the sun darken?
Well, it's, you know how the sun is usually quite bright?
Mm. Yes.
And it can hurt your eyes?
Yes.
You put millions of locusts between you and the sun.
So the sun hasn't darkened?
And it darkens. Well, the sun to you has darkened.
No.
But this is philosophy.
The locusts have darkened the sun.
I think he has the authority of Genesis on his side.
God, we're going to bring the Bible into this. I'm sure I shouldn't have said God before the Bible, should I? Barry, I think that's a clever challenge of deviation, so I give you the benefit of the doubt there and tell you that you have the subject of pests and you have 45 seconds starting now.
Pests to me are represented by people who say, dare I say, and pardon my French and for my sins. These idiosyncratic, irritating conversational ploys, they throw at you endlessly, they din on my ears like...
And, Brian, you've challenged.
They and they.
Yes, yes. So very well interrupted there, I thought, Brian.
I don't think... you're in a position to comment other people's challenges, Sue.
I've been listening. I mean, you couldn't help but hear it.
Her reactions are slow.
Yes, right. We often let two days go, but three, all right, Brian, we give it to you. Pest is with you now. 30 seconds starting now.
Well. I have recently sold a house... And one afternoon, when a party of rather important people were about to arrive with the possibility of making an offer for it, what should I discover in my kitchen but ants? Not just two or three, but several thousand ants.
John, the ants came in there too often, and 15 seconds for you on pests starting now.
The real pests are those who work for private camping companies and you are suddenly told...
Just a minute.
Hesitation, then.
Well, there was a hesitation, but no, after that particular remark, yeah, I think you were waiting for the laugh, which didn't come, actually.
Hold on, I was, my memory was going back to the instant I'm about to describe, where I was clamped.
You've got more
than... Anybody would hesitate for a second.
Clamping.
No, clamping.
Camping. Oh, no, we thought you said camping. Your camping.
No, no, we're talking about clamping.
And we all thought you said
when
camping.
You're parking in England.
I say, ask the audience, Nicholas. Do you think you said camping?
Yes!
Anyway, John, the thing was that Barry had you for hesitation. That was a correct challenge. So, Barry, you have the subject of pests back with you. 8 seconds starting now.
Two recent blockbuster films, Ants and A Bug's Life, deal with pests, delineating as they do a vast community of these small insects living as it were...
So, Barry Clark is then speaking as a little bit. Gained that extra point for doing so, and he's leapt forward now. He's equal with Brian Sewell in second place, just behind our leader, who is still John the Sergeant. And John, it's your turn to begin the subject. Oh, that's pests. We've just done that one. We're back with Barry Cryer.
Oh.
Drawing a blank. That's a good subject. And by the way, they can repeat any of the words on a card if it's a phrase, you know, individually or separately. So, Barry, drawing a blank, 60 seconds, starting now.
I'm daunted by the presence of Brian Sewell on this programme because I would have thought that drawing a blank is a contradiction in terms. How on earth can you draw a blank? An empty canvas, a void.
Sorry, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
It was a sort of Sewell slip, was it?
Yes.
Yes, it was. But what actually happens then is if someone's interrupted, they get a point for the interruption and they carry on speaking on the subject. And there are 49 seconds with you, Barry, on drawing a blank, starting now.
In my own life of writing through the years, I often drew a blank, reached a mental block. I remember years ago trying to think of the right word for 2 weeks. And then I thought, fortnight, that is the word that I was searching for. I've said words.
Oh, God, never mind.
John, you challenged.
Word, I'm word. Afraid.
Yes, there were too word. Many words, but then he lives with words. It's his
he
living,
does,
isn't
I
it?
Know, he loves them.
And
he
yes, and he puts them together so beautifully as well, and so funnily. I'm giving you all the build-up I can, but the audience aren't reacting.
They were nodding. They were nodding.
Right. So, John Sargent, you have the subject of drawing a blank. There are 35 seconds available starting now.
Drawing a blank is one of those American phrases which could be the title of a book by Raymond Chandler. He wrote The Lost Weekend. He also wrote The Big Sleep.
If you... And you've challenged. Wrote.
Two wrotes. Am I correct in
you
saying
right.
wrote?
You are right. Two wrotes. Yes.
I reckon I've got the real reason why you do so well on this, because you don't flow, do you?
What do you mean? You don't flow.
He don't flow. He hasn't got a flow.
Who hasn't got a flow?
You haven't got a flow.
Haven't I?
Because you know when he talks, he goes things like, the reason I have come across this word pesticide is because in the 20th century, don't you think he attacks every word?
Deviation from sanity.
Well, Sewell Pollard, we now have a chance to see your flow, and I can't wait for it.
What was it again? What were we doing?
All right, darling, all right, don't get too
drawing
tense.
Drawing a blank.
Drawing a blank,
drawing
yes.
a blank.
Well, drawing
draw
a blank, no, flow away with it, Sue, and you have 27 seconds if you want them, starting now.
Drawing a blank is not the phrase that could be levied at Rolf Harris, as he usually...
Barry,
can
yes.
a phrase be levied? Levelled? Can it be levied?
No.
Can it be levied, Brian?
No, it cannot be
I meant
levied.
To say levelled, but it kind of, you know, got stuck on my tongue and came out as id instead of
I know, L. I know. So you're challenging for deviation from the English
language. Deviation from the English language.
As we understand it, yes. Sorry, what were you saying, Brian?
Sue's been taking lessons in Japanese and can't tell her L's from her R's.
Barry, you had a correct challenge. So you had the subject of drawing a blank. It's back with you, and there are 19 seconds available starting now.
The endless vista of no ideas, inspiration, or I've forgotten what I was going to say. It's a deadly subject, this.
It is the most frustrating game you've ever invented. John, and when you've got three bright sparks breathing down your neck trying to trip you up all the time, it's even more difficult. John Sargent, you had a correct challenge there. Drawing a blank, and there are 18... No, they're not. There are 13... No, they're not. There's 13 seconds. I've got a little clock in front of me. And, I'm sorry.
That word had an element.
Could I get started? Okay. This is very frustrating. I want to go.
I've got four men with me that are obviously in the great need of Viagra. Nobody can get anything going.
Maybe that's what's wrong with my little clock.
This isn't fun,
is it? 13 seconds are still available for drawing a blank. It's with John Sargent, starting now.
Drawing a blank.
Hesitation.
No.
Yes, a distinct drawing of breath.
I know he has to draw breath before he says. He only went for less than a second. But John, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, and you have 11 seconds on drawing a blank, starting now.
Drawing a blank is when a detective in America drives up in a white car to a big mansion. In the side of the mansion, there is a greenhouse.
Brian.
Hesitation before greenhouse.
That's right. Mm. Greenhouse.
Yes.
That's right. We're in agreement with that.
Brian. You very cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go on drawing a blank. What do you mean, oh, it's part of the game?
No, thank you for the old words you said, oh.
Brian.
Yes.
2 seconds on drawing a blank.
Thank you.
With you, Brian, starting now.
It is the activity of most contemporary artists.
Brian Sewell was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he's getting quite a few points now. He's equal with Barry Cryer in second place, and Sue Pollard is trailing little John Sargent's in the lead. And Sue Pollard, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is, oh, I think this has been thought of especially for you, the kiss of life. Oh, yes. I'm sure anyone would love to give you the kiss of life because they would get more life back than you. Sue, you have 60 seconds to talk on the subject, starting now.
I know many women and indeed men who would love to be on the receiving end of the kiss of life, preferably given by somebody of wonderful gender, i.e. Brad Pitt.
What is... Surely that is a deviation.
Hold on. Wonderful gender.
One can either be male or female, but wonderful gender suggests...
Hold on, Brian. My life went on first.
Brian, you at least knew that I meant male or female, so you can have gender. What's that?
You can't take it.
As it happens,
you can't be both.
My lawyer here. My knees are going. I'm at that age. I've had to stand up.
Darling.
Not bad legs, though, are they? Don't do.
Darling, we haven't come on.
Sorry.
For goodness sake, sit down there firmly right now, then. With, as much as we love you, you haven't come on just a minute to show off your legs, darling.
No, sorry.
Neither have you.
Oh, yes. Well interrupted.
John Sargent has the subject, and there are 47 seconds available. The kiss of life, starting now.
We were very keen on the kiss of life when we were doing life-saving courses.
Oh, no, sorry, I've interrupted too soon.
Why?
Because he just said two wees. He said, we were very keen on the kiss of life when we...
Well, how else would you make the sentence work?
Yeah, but you've just tried to trip me up on wonderful gender. I mean, that was not right.
I think if he did repeat we, you're entitled to have it, though we usually let little words like that go.
Oh, do we?
Yes. But
otherwise, it's very mean, Sue, and people like me burst into tears and walk out. You see what I mean? It's that serious.
That.
It's that sort of getting personal.
But it's just as if he's
to Sue, debate. Sue, you've got the subject back again, and you've got a point for it, and you have 43 seconds, and it's the kiss of life, and you start now.
Unfortunately,
that was a hesitation.
So, Brian.
No, I was gathering momentum to go into my flow again.
But your momentum didn't come quick enough, darling. So, Brian, you have 41 seconds for you to tell us something about the kiss of life, starting now.
For some of us, the kiss of life might well be the kiss of death. Because if we came round consciousness...
Barry.
Blatant hesitation.
Yeah.
Oh, you could have driven a coach and horses
There's
through.
There's no need to rub it in. It was hesitation, and I agree.
More salt with your wound, Vicar.
You're really sort of playing the audience, getting them to groan in sympathy with you. So, you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of a kiss of life. And there are 34 seconds, and you start now.
I was in a pub in Glasgow, which may surprise you, and one of the less regular of the customers had misunderstood the term.
Yes.
Start!
John Sargent, your challenge, yes.
Yes, what a muddle over, Mr.
Yes. John, the kiss of life is back with you, and there are 26 seconds starting now.
When we were doing life-saving courses, we were particularly keen, the boys were, to make sure that we blew a lot of air into the lips of some of the girls. The staff didn't think this was a very good idea. We said we were trying to help them because we didn't want them to pass away because of a silly accident in the swimming pool. So they decided...
And Brian Sewell's challenge.
There seemed to be rather a lot of becauses in that sentence.
Yes, there was more than one because. So, Brian, you've got
him. Look at his face.
That's awful.
Not like this on the news, is he?
No.
Not petulant on the news.
Right, Brian, a correct challenge. The last 11 seconds of the show... Today, the kiss of life starting now.
Imagine, there you are, flat on your back, unconscious, and somebody has pinched your lips in a way that allows them to suck air in as somebody else is blowing.
John Sargent got in first. And you got in, John, with half a second to go.
Oh,
and the perfect lips to do.
The toast is, nobody loves a smart ass.
John Sargent, half a second, kiss of life starting now.
The kiss of life.
Right, kiss of life. So they all got lots of points in that show. They all contributed so well. The contributions is what I enjoy. The points is what they enjoy. And coming out on top with the most points of all was John Sargent. So we say, John, you're our winner. On behalf of Barry Clark, Sue Pollard, Brian Sewell, John Sargent, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, we hope you've enjoyed the show and be at the end of your televisions next time we play Just a Minute. Until then, goodbye.